Conversate for a few.
Welcome to another episode of Conversate for a Few. I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan, and this is not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely is not. This is a podcast about hip-hop. What are we doing today, bruh?
Well, we want to discuss how hip-hop became the first multi-generational genre of music.
Okay, all right. What do we mean by the first generation, the multi-generational genre of music? Because I think most people, I don't even know if people understand what that means. Maybe that might be a little bit too highbrow.
Multi, just many, right? Generational genres. So now, see, generation, I mean.
Well, okay, let me put it this way. I think I got a way to explain it. We've had styles of music and genres of music that lasted across generations. Mm-hmm. Rock music has lasted across generations. R&B and soul and blues and jazz has lasted across generations, right?
Right.
But hip hop being multi-generational, I think speaks to my nephews being 4 years old and 6 years old and being immersed in hip hop, and me being 48 years old and having friends in their mid 50s that are just as immersed in hip hop as those 6 year olds.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know that there's ever been a time where the genre of music was heralded and people were a part of that culture across multiple generations.
At the same time.
You see what I'm saying? At the same time. When the Beatles were popping, the older people weren't listening to that shit. They would call them niggas beatniks.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? When hip-hop first jumped off, it wasn't multi-generational.
No. It became just the beat generation that was doing it.
Yep.
The generation of young people that was doing it.
Yep, it wasn't. So it became multi-generational. So I think that's something that's, I think, an easy way to explain it. We're not talking about music that was consistently created across generations, because I think almost all of them would fit in that category. But the music being connected to the people across multiple generations, I think this is the first time we've had that.
Yeah.
Where If I go to the mall, or I go to the grocery store, I can look at a person my age, younger or older, doesn't matter, and understand what style of music they grew up on or listened to or is most dear to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know another genre of music like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. Can you think of any?
No. No. And I think that speaks to the point, though, why it became the first one to be a multi-generational in that way is because it had more defining elements than other genres. So that's the reason why you could be at the mall and see someone, know exactly what their influence was, exactly, you know what I mean, what music, you know, had a heavy influence on them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, in hip hop, not only could you see what type of music they enjoy, you could look at a person and tell what part of the world they listen to hip hop from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ain't that wild? Like, hip hop is a wild thing. Like, it's, you could look at a person and tell whether they well, you could, not so much now, but there was a time you could look at a person and tell whether they listen to mostly New York hip hop or East Coast hip hop or mostly West Coast hip hop or mostly down south. You could see it.
Yeah.
But you could always see the hip hop on them. Mm-hmm. But you could see the regionality too, you know?
Yeah.
So that is one of the things. Hip hop has a fashion quotient that is so embedded, you know, that, you know, it like rock had one too for a while, you know, but, you know, it went through the glam rock thing, punk rock, grunge, it's just sometimes you didn't know whether you was looking at a skater, a rocker, an atheist. You ain't, I mean, an anarchist. You ain't know what the fuck you was looking at. You know what I mean? And maybe they knew. So bless you. So maybe we're not giving other cultures enough credit. You think?
Well, no, I still stand with you on your original statement. I mean, I think they may have, but to a way more limited degree. It was definitely not as apparent as in hip hop, and as massive.
Right. I would agree. I would agree. And there's a in other genres of music, right? Outside of the music and maybe the fashion, right? I can't really think of too many other tenets that were, how do you put it, native to that culture. Like, what are the tenets of R&B?
Don't know.
You know what I mean? Don't know. What are the tenets of rock music? When I look that up, the only thing I could find is like, what is the ideology of rock music? You know, it's like rock is distinguished from pop as the authentic expression of a performer or composer's feelings and the authentic representation of a social situation. Rock is at once the mainstream of commercial music and a romantic art form of voice from the social margins. Wow. Rock was supposed to be from the social margins, which is why it fell apart.
Yeah.
So, you know, they all start at the social margins. We should know that.
Yeah.
All music starts at the social margins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, shouldn't surprise us, and because we started it.
Yeah. Because we started it, yeah. That shouldn't surprise us because we started it. Right, that shouldn't have been a surprise at all. The fact that they maintained it, though, and that's what they felt like they was doing for so long.
Yeah.
I guess it came and went.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it came and went. But, yeah, it when I look for their tenets and characteristics, everything I find is they're about musical aesthetics, not cultural.
Yeah,
aesthetics, because I guess is what I'm saying. I do the same thing, R&B, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can find key elements, I can find structure, I can find components of R&B music, right? Mm-hmm. When they would say the components, soul music, funk music, pop music. And after 86, hip hop. That's wild.
Yeah.
After 86, they say they started throwing hip hop in it. We gotta look into that.
Yeah.
We gotta look into that. We gotta look into that. They saying 86. I wonder when it, like, when we would say, just on listening. I bet you somebody rapped on a song before. 86 rapped on an R&B song before 86.
Had to.
I would say, but like I said, those don't have tenets. They got components of the music, you know. And I keep saying tenets, and maybe some of my younger listeners don't know why I keep mentioning the word, but hip hop does have tenets. Hip hop culture has tenets, and the four tenets of hip hop. MCing,
DJ,
breakdancing, DJing, and graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And anywhere in the world, right now, you can go anywhere in the world and you're going to find somebody breakdancing, DJing, doing some graffiti, and rapping.
That's a fact.
Yeah. I don't care where you go.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So now it's hip hop culture. These people you've seen doing it probably ain't gonna be black. Mm-mm. In certain places they're gonna be black. In all honesty, most of the graffiti artists, the dope graffiti artists I know of today ain't black.
Yeah.
Most of the dope break dancers I know today ain't black. Mm-hmm. I know of some, but most of them ain't black. Most of the dopest MCs I know are black. Most of the dopest DJs I know are black. Yeah. But I know a whole lot of dope white DJs are dope. Asian DJs are dope. Latino DJs. Yeah. You know what I mean? So hip hop culture is much broader than black culture. It was started by black culture.
Right.
But the tenets themselves were not black.
Mm-hmm.
The tenets themselves were mediums of art,
yeah,
that combine to create a culture.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we mad early in the episode, but in my opinion, that is the sole reason that hip hop became a multi-generational genre of music.
Right. I agree. Now I'm going to say the same thing you just said, because I was about to give my answer to that's how it became a multi-generational right genre of music. It's because of that. But the way I'm going to say is everybody, because you said it was started by blacks, but the tenets wasn't black themselves, the actual tenets that comprised hip hop, right? They were mediums for artistic expression. Therefore, every race, nationality, and regardless of race, color, creed, or religion can find their place somewhere in hip hop because they have multiple avenues for artistic expression. So it's the one music, and that's why hip hop is the greatest. That's why hip hop is the greatest. It's because every person on the earth can find their self somewhere to fit in the mold of hip hop.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of it.
And that is the beauty of it. And because hip hop is created, it's an amalgamation. Hip hop isn't one thing.
Right.
It isn't one set of drums or one riff. You see what I'm saying? Or one type of bass tone. It's an amalgamation of all sorts of music. You know, you might sample something from a Latin song, or sample something from a Celtic song, or sample something from a song from anywhere, Arabia, Saudi Arabia. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And you might throw some trap drums on them joints. You might throw some drums that came from Vanilla Fudge. You know what I mean? So it's all going, it's like gumbo.
Mm-hmm. So
if you listen to it closely, you can hear yourself. You are in it somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's a part of you in hip hop somewhere. If you listen long enough, you will find yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's right there. Musically, I think is outside of these tenets. Musically, that's one of the reasons that it's multi-generational. It's because it's so reflective,
right,
of society itself, right. Rock music, like I said earlier, they said that it distinguished itself from pop music, right? Mm-hmm. Because it came from the social margins and it spoke more authentically about people's plights and what was going on with the actual human, right? And pop music was thought to be a little bit more plastic and everything. I feel like hip hop was able to supplant rock in that way, especially with that general message, because it came at a time where it was more authentic and more from the margins and more than where rock had grown to. You know what I mean? It just became the new truth teller.
Right.
You know, of sorts. When Bob Dylan and Marvin Gaye and the boys back in the day, Marvin Gaye wouldn't rock, but he was because we started it. But you know what I mean? The boys back in the day doing rock and the social climate music, the music to move the social, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think we took that mantle, you know?
Right.
Right.
Mm. The diversity, that's the other thing. The diversity of of the actual music is also why. And this is a point I probably will bring back up whenever we talk about Islam and hip hop, because I found the parallel is crazy. But check it, like rap music is considered to be the youngest genre of music. Like it's younger than Nas, than rock, younger than classical, younger, right? But it is the genre that encompasses and incorporates everything before it.
Which makes
it a timeless music, which makes it, again, everyone can find their place in it. Now, here's the funny thing. We talked about, out of all the religions, Islam has had the most influence in hip-hop. Now, the Arabic language is considered the youngest Semitic language in terms of written form. But the linguists, the people that study language, say, but that written Arabic is the closest to the to how the Semitic, the proto-Semitic, the mother of all of the Semitic language, it says it preserves the oldest of the earliest, you know what I mean, Semitic languages. I just thought that is fucking phenomenal. Just thinking about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention my graffiti.
And it's like when you
Arabic too, but go ahead.
Exactly. And when you read the Quran, it encompasses everything that came before it.
Right. Bible. The Torah.
You know what I mean? But still, right. The Bible, the Torah. Yeah, all of that is in the Quran. Right. But you get the Quran. Right. Like everything that came before hip hop is in hip hop, but you get hip hop.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's tons of parallels, bro. That's dope. Yeah. I mean, you know,
and this, I hope people don't take it as religious, but the joint, the parallels is just too, not eerie, it's just too blatant, right? And the crazy thing, like, I remember, like, sitting with you and you sampling, or I'm listening to something, and like, as my ears became more in tune, I'm hearing, this came from this sample and finding stuff. But it made me have a better love for the music that was generations past me. You know what I mean? The 60s, the 70s, when I was even born.
Right.
Hearing how it was repurposed in my time and the samples were chopped, it was so fire, it made you go back and I would actually just listen to the records and the songs themselves, and I fell in love with that. So here's the parallel. So hip hop bears witness to everything that came before it. Like some people diverse, like some other genres of music, they, you know what I mean? They like to divorce themselves from hip hop or hip hop having any connection to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it brings to mind when you talked about how the Quran, it contains everything before it. And it has a verse that says, we believe in that which has been revealed to thee, meaning Muhammad of the Quran. And it says, and we believe in that which was revealed before thee, Torah, gospel.
Before thee.
So like, we bear witness. This new thing, this new genre of hip hop, but we also bear witness and believe and love and appreciate the rock that came before, classical music, jazz, all of the other elements that came before.
That's right. It's funny because you said something while you were speaking. You were like, not to get religious about it, and it's not religious, right? But I just wanted to make sure that my thoughts were correct before I went to speaking. So I Googled who created the tenets of hip hop. Mm-hmm. Right? If you had to answer that question just off the top of your head, what would the answer be?
Wow. Man, to be honest, I don't know. I'll just throw out there and say Grandmaster Caz has something to do with it.
Yeah. Okay. The first person I thought about was African Bambaataa.
When I started thinking about it,
right? African Bambaataa. You hear me? African Bambaataa.
So now two things. Yeah, I was gonna say Grandmaster Caz, African Bambaataa, and I really was gonna say African Bambaataa first.
Right. That was the first person I popped up that popped in my head. You know what I mean? The Zulu Nation and African Bambaataa. Yeah, that's who gets credit for. That's who gets credit for doing it. You know for a fact that man was using he was using religious tactics yeah. to make hip hop do what it was supposed to do in the Bronx yeah. at the time. We know yeah. that, right? So it is not surprising that it worked.
Right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Like putting tenets on something, that's not music, that's culture, that's mm-hmm. religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he knew what he was doing. And it yeah, like the tenets mm-hmm. of Islam. That's why it's so close. He knew what he was doing. There was no mistake right. there. So I think we're really starting to uncover why it was the, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it's not necessarily a question that people ask, but if we're going to ask the question, we might as well think about all the reasons that it happened, or as many as that we can come up right. with, right? Afrika Bambaataa's approach to push hip-hop where he was, I think, is why it worked the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, adding those pillars. It says this here, who created the elements of hip hop? The pillars, the rocks that ushered hip hop into the 21st century as a cultural phenomenon were formulated by DJ Afrika Bambaataa of the hip hop collective Zulu Nation. The knowledge of the five pillars might not be widespread, but its structural significance should not be understated.
Five pillars, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they say the fifth one is knowledge.
Right, that's religious.
Because we got
four. Right.
That's mm-hmm. religious. That's religious. So it's emceeing, and that's how they break it. Oral, mm-hmm. right? Oral, physical, visual, mental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ain't that real close to arm, leg, arm, head?
Yeah.
Yeah, they know what yeah. they're doing. They knew what they were doing, yeah. bro. They knew what they were doing. I'm so happy it worked.
yeah, it worked. It definitely worked, man.
I'm so happy it worked, bro. Yeah, it definitely worked, man. It definitely worked. Man, so creating tenets, and now we know, but like, if you do something, we talk about this a lot, right? But it's the intent with which you do things with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you add all those ingredients that, you know what I mean, that are built on that yeah. intent, that thing will likely act the way, it will perform the way you wanted yeah. it to. We ain't talking about the success of it. You know what I mean? We just talk about the way people adapt it to it or attract right. it to it. Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, Afrika Bambaataa is not a name that is proudly spoken of in hip hop circles nowadays. Ain't no need in getting to this part of the show and bringing his name up and not right. mentioning it. But he did do this good thing. He might be a dirtbag, but he did do this good
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
This great thing.
Right.
Yeah, this great thing. Outside of the four tenets, outside of MCing,
mm-hmm.
which one of the tenets did you get closest to?
The next one would be absolutely graffiti.
Okay.
Like there was a time.
That's the one you were closest to next.
This was crazy. There was a time like 9-4, 9-5, we running around, especially when Artifacts, Wrong Side of the Tracks came out. Like, we all super nice in graffiti and creating our own tags and all of that. Like, spray paint,
browns,
everything. And we try to be dumb nice to that, yo. And mind you, like, a lot of
so people y'all, y'all,
in school, right, we all in visual arts class. You know what
right,
I mean? So,
right.
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah. I think the one I got closest to was probably breaking or dancing. You know what I mean? Like outside of rapping, I drew graffiti, but that was like on pieces of paper. I don't know a kid that didn't grow up trying to at least draw some bubble letters You know what I mean? Get they shading right with the graffiti. So everybody tried it. You know what I mean? But I didn't really get deep off in graffiti. But I started. Shit, I would probably start it with Michael Jackson, and then found my way to breakdance. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then found my way to Scoob and Scrap Lover. You know what I mean? And niggas like that. So the dancing part, I was dancing before I was rapping.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then I never DJed. Yeah, but yeah, Breaking was the one. You know, one that might be added, because I was gonna ask you if you had to add a tenant, what would you add?
That's a good one. So, and this probably is biased, but it's funny because I was gonna say this. Photography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Photography?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a dope one.
Because one of the things, as you know what I mean, hip hop is developing and people having sessions, performances. One of the things go hand in hand with that is people capturing the actual moments.
That's the word I was going to use. Instead of photography, I was going to use capture.
Yeah.
Capture should be a because photography, videography, just capturing the moment should be a hip hop tenet. Yeah. I was gonna add fashion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just born a new episode. We're gonna go over the 2023 tenets of hip hop. We'll add all the new ones.
Well, that might not go. The good ones, because 2023, some people would say crime. We have the good tenets here. But I think capture is a great one. Yeah, capture, fashion, MCing, graffiti, DJing, breaking. Those are the tenets. I can't think of what would another one be outside of capture and fashion, right? That's just part of hip hop. Cause production is like a, you know what I mean? Like that you could produce for anything.
That's true.
So I don't think that needs to be a tenet of hip hop, like beat making. I don't think so. But I mean, maybe that's akin to DJing though, because DJing is not a hip hop thing, but there is a specific way to DJ inside hip hop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like music production is not a hip hop thing, but there is a specific thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is akin to hip hop production that don't fit in nothing else, but I won't add that. That just seems selfish on my part, just because I wanted.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I bet a bunch of producers would say that it should be added.
Yeah, they would, but I do think we got the right ones though. A question we always ask is like, will it sustain? You know what I mean? So this is a tricky question. I'm going to answer it first before I'm going to go ahead and answer it. I think it will sustain, right? Hip hop culture will sustain.
Okay.
But I think it will likely eventually go the way of rock and or pop music, which it just gets too accessible and a new truth teller comes.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think hip hop will sustain until we see the next truth teller. That sounds really religious.
That's funny.
That sounds really religious, bro. Yeah, but I think that's the way I see it. Until there's another truth telling genre that emerges from the people.
Right.
you know, from the people, then hip hop will be what it is.
Yeah.
Hip hop will be what it is. And it may stay hip hop because the creation of music is only going to get less expensive. They're not going to go back to buying guitars and drum sets and saxophones and clarinets. That's not going to happen. So the music will be created by the people that have the cheapest tools. So we might fuck around and really see AI music take over.
Yeah.
You know, people that's got access to the cheapest tools are going to make the music. That got the most to say, they got access to the cheapest tools. Truth tellers. Where did hip hop get started with? The cheapest possible tool you could get your hands on. Turntable and a microphone. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think it'll sustain itself until we get another truth teller.
I don't even know how that would look or sound.
That's what I was thinking about.
Because I feel like it's really, like, we just seen so many, like, what could be.
Well, then nobody could have predicted this. You feel me? Like, nobody could have predicted the look and feel and the sound of hip-hop. Oh, yeah. So to think that we would be able to do it, I don't even know why we would expect that. Because nobody would have ever predicted that, you know, hooking a microphone up to a turntable would have us 50 years later having this conversation about why it was the first multi-generational music, genre of music, you know. And you know what? Maybe we need to rephrase that question. Because it wasn't the first multi-generational genre of music. It was the first multi-generation culture of music.
Right.
The music has been multi-generational forever, but this is the first culture that has been multi-generational. So maybe we need to reframe that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. This might have been one that we could wrap up quick because I think we got to the answer. We
definitely got to the answer. Faster than I anticipated.
Yeah, like I don't way faster than I anticipated. But it's I think it's still an important conversation. Like every conversation don't got to be an hour long. You know what I mean? Like it ain't, you know, you had a conversation to get the thought out of your head. And maybe that's what it was. Cause I mean, we touched on some things that were really important pretty quick. You know what I mean? That how close hip hop may seem to a religion or Islam, to be specific. Why we believe it became a culture and not just a genre of music. And that leads back to Afrika Bambaataa. It was purposeful. If that's one thing I want to ask, had Afrika Bambaataa not added the tenets and not made it a culture, does hip hop survive?
I would say yes. What I think would have happened though is somewhere down the line of as it kept developing, and you know what I mean, in the later 80s, 90s, someone somewhere would have said, like, set some criteria for what is hip hop. Like, somebody would have came up with, I feel like, some type of criteria for it at some point.
I understand that sentiment, but
I'm basing that off of off of it, off of artists wanting to distinguish themselves from other artists being nice. See, that was the general general temperament or sentiment of the artists of the music. So they also wanted to distinguish the genre, I think, from other genres. I think they, because they was getting, and you know how it was in the beginning with hip hop not being widely accepted. So I think they wanted to, and because what you, this is what usually happened, then you kind of codify some type of, you know, some type of code or criteria for your, you know, what you're a part of. So that's what I think. I think they would have codified right. something. Somebody.
Parts of me agrees. Parts of me agrees. I don't know if I agree for the same reason. I think it probably would have sustained. I think the music would have sustained, right? I don't know that it ever would have gotten to the place that it is now. I don't think it would have gotten as big as it did, or as it has. But I think it would have lasted for quite a while, the music, because the music was just that viable and it was good enough and it's strong enough. You know what I mean? Hip-hop music is great music. But I don't think it would have been a multi-generational culture thing just based on the music. I think the tentacles of those tenants had to go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
To make it. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like, a hip-hop DJ was able to carry hip-hop into places that a rapper was never going to be accepted. Mm-hmm. Like right now, right, DJ Paradigm got a whole company called Cool Receptions, and it's a fleet of DJs, and they doing all types of wedding receptions and events and everything. Them niggas is hip-hop.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They stone cold hip-hop. But DJing is carrying hip hop into them rooms. Them they ain't asking for no rap in the rooms though. They don't want no rap at their fucking wedding reception. You feel me? You see what I mean? Like breakdancing. Do you understand breakdancing is at the next Olympics?
Yes, you told me. Did you know that?
Breakdancing is a part of the next Olympics. Right. What in the fuck? Mm-hmm. So you see what I mean? So like hip hop don't go as far as it does without those tentacles. MCing don't gonna be enough. So I think the music would have lasted for quite a while. I think we probably still have hip hop. I don't think it would have just gone away. But the influence that the music had.
Yeah, I agree.
So I agree with you. Yes, the music would have sustained. Yeah, but the culture and it being multi-generational and I still care about it as much as my nephews, that part would have disappeared.
Yeah.
You know? I think that part would have disappeared. That's wild. But yeah, so I think this was in-depth and comprehensive and thoughtful. Yeah. I think so, bro. I don't think we gotta push it. I don't think we gotta push it, man. So subscribe and hit the notification bell on YouTube. Go subscribe to the Facebook and the Instagram at Conversate for a Few. Stay tuned for the limited edition Futane Clan merch. I guess with that, I'm Jonna.
I'm Alan. This was not a podcast about classical music.
Absolutely was not. This was a podcast about hip hop. Make room for the tag.
Conversate for a Few. Conversate for a Few. Hustle. Welcome, man, they had to send me. Hustle from Raleigh, live from NC with your hosts, John and Alan. Relate to the two. You are now listening to Conversate for a Few. Check it on SoundCloud, debate with your crew. They talking hip-hop from the late to the new. From July till June end, no Fridays for me. Tune in. Please listen to this podcast. 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 Please listen to this podcast.